You are tuned to WERU-FM, 89.9 Blue Hill, 99.9 Bangor, and streaming online everywhere at weru.org. And this is the WERU News Report for Tuesday, July 30th, 2013. I'm Amy Brown. Join us today on a chemical mystery tour of the area surrounding Sears Island in Penobscot Bay. This afternoon, we joined Ron Huber and Harlan McLaughlin of Friends of Penobscot Bay as they led a hike along the shoreline, pointing out significant areas of concern. On the site of the GAC Chemical Company, formerly known as General Alum Company, there are old buildings and storage facilities that are crumbling on site, left over from previous owners. Records have been lost, and even the current owner claims that they do not know what has been left behind and is possibly seeping into the bay. In addition to that site, there have been discharges from other industries over the years, including mercury from the former Holter Chem plant in Orrington. You can see photos on our Facebook page as you listen.
Right here actually is the place that started it all, this black line and cistern. It's when a friend and I back in, I guess it was 95, went there, saw this cistern full of water, poked a stick in it, and found that after an inch or two, it was all solid, oily grease. And the front of the cistern was made of 2x4s stacked up, and they were bulging outward. It was, like, very frightening looking. So we contacted DEP, and they said, well, whatever, maybe. We contacted the Coast Guard, and they said, we'll check this out. And they did, and they said to the company, it hasn't gotten into the water yet. Why don't you deal with it? And they did. And so this first cleanup that happened, right in this area right here where this white block is because, that was our first little foray into dealing with pollution at this site. And then just, you'll see as you walk along there that, you know, the companies that are here since the 30s have all added their layer of waste, you might say. And now the waste is all coming back. You can dump it, but when the road's back, it just comes right back to you. And right now, I think there's some people clamming down there. And the clams may even look healthy in some places. But, you know, are they healthy to eat? We're not sure. And so the big question is, how do we get the company and the industry and the agency off the dime? DEP is a hard company to get involved in things, as you may know. But we're trying to get the company to cooperate with us and actually set up a mitigation plan where they'll try to meet certain milestones in dealing with this. Demolishing the old factory, trimming back the shore so they stop eroding. And then, you know, if we can get them to deal with the mud, another expensive proposition, then great, we'll deal with that. That's all I got to say. Thank you so much. And now Harlan has a few things to say.
Thanks, Ron. Well, thank you all for coming. Those who don't know me, my name is Harlan McLaughlin, and I'm part of Friends of Penobscot Bay with Ron. Our goals for our organization include trying to clean up the bay, whether small pockets or whatever we can do. We figure taking on small projects is a lot more feasible for a small organization, and it'll give us a chance to get organized. What you're going to see is a real good example of what happens with a centuries-old idea of just throw it in the bay. It doesn't matter. We used to dump our garbage in the bay. You probably all know that. I remember as a kid over in Belfast, there was a big pipe coming out of Maplewood Poultry you could see coming across a bridge. And that pipe was spewing out blood and guts and chicken feathers right into the bay. And the seagulls loved it. But finally, we got smart and stopped. And the poultry industry wasn't the only one doing it. Everyone was doing it everywhere. So you can just imagine, if you would, what kind of pollution is in the bottom of the bay right around Mack Point and on the other side of Sears Island. They've been using that port for hundreds and hundreds of years, literally. And in the old days, it was dump it overboard, who cares? They've been bringing in petroleum products and all kinds of other things that can be hazardous to our health. And we don't know how much of that ended up on the bottom of the bay. Let's see. We know that, and in addition to that, we know that Holter Chem up in Orrington dumped in just a whole lot of mercury into our bay not too awful long ago. And mercury is a deadly poison. It's one of the things Ron was talking about. Now the problem comes. The DOT wants to dredge all of those old spoils up, and we don't even know what's there. They have no idea. We know there's a lot of mercury, but there's also a lot of other stuff. And the DOT's plan is to dredge all of that up, just in case somebody might want to put a port there. It'll be all ready, you know. And we've already spent millions and millions of dollars on this, that the fantasy port, and we don't really need to spend any more. But more to the point, it's dangerous to harvest all this sludge. You know what happens when you bring up a handful of mud in the bottom of a lake? It just silt flows everywhere. You can't even see because of it. Now they want to dredge up 900,000 cubic yards of material. 900,000. And the other part of the dredging, the part that everyone knows about, the part that got approved and everyone's singing about, is the maintenance dredging. And that's like 15,000 cubic yards. 15,000 for the dredging for the maintenance, and 900,000 for recreational dredging, just speculation dredging, just for fun. But we're saying, first of all, don't do it. It's not a good way to spend our money. But secondly, don't do it because it might be dangerous. We don't know what we're doing. We really don't. So we like to have the DMR call for a public hearing. Hold a public hearing. A hearing. Hold a public hearing. Find out what's all involved here. We'd like the State Department of Public Health to check in and see what's the lobster situation going to be when they are all tainted with this mercury. How much is there that's going to be spread around and dumped on the lobster grounds? How is that going to affect the lobster industry and every other little fish industry that we have going on here? And the third thing, I'd be like, what's his name? Rick Perry. I can't remember the third thing. There's one, really. Oh, yeah. We want the state to evaluate what it is we're dredging up. To do a study before you do the dredging, not afterwards. Don't sit down there in a little wetsuit and catch the drips and say, oh my God, we're in trouble. Dig it up first, bring it to the lab and say, what is this? What's going to happen with this if we spread it all around the bay like fairy dust? You know, really need to be concerned about this. So we're asking folks to contact whoever you contact, and your legislative people, if you think that'll do any good, or whatever you can do, to ask DMR to hold a public hearing, ask the state to look into this. We've contacted all the politicians that we can think of, and you can see how many of them are here, so you can tell their interest. But we need the public's help on this. We really do. We need people to get involved. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say, Helen, do we know whether or not there's any mercury that could be out here as well?
Yeah, it came right down the river right over there. Some of it could have come in here. Some of it could have come around the other side, depending on where the flows were. They've caught lobsters up here and checked them, and they have a higher than permissible average of mercury contamination in them.
We shouldn't be eating lobster.
Well, that's what's going to happen to the lobster industry when people from Connecticut say that.
Do you guys know about Minamata in Japan back in the 70s, where a big industrial complex dumped mercury into the water in a fishing village, and they, to this day, are still suffering from the incredible birth defects from that?
Well, I can tell you a bit about that the mercury challenge. One of the biggest problems with mercury is when it gets anaerobically synthesized into methyl mercury, and that's if it's down under the mud for a while, and there are organisms that are happy to convert it. That stuff is much more toxic than the raw mercury that you might suck out of a thermometer. So the not that anyone, but anyway, the problem is that. Was it Louisiana Pacific? What was the name of the company up there in Orington?
Holtrachem.
Before there was a Holtrachem even. Yeah, there was a paper company there. It was chlorine maker, and to make chlorine, you had vast vats of mercury, big rooms full of vats of mercury to carry the electric charge. It was one of those early things. And so when they got rid of it, a lot of it either leaked in or got dumped in. And from there, it is sort of, through the natural process, a lot of it has moved on down here. And every time they've dredged, another plume has come down, too. There's something called the Down East Lobstermen's Association. Mike Dassett is their, I think he's their secretary, but he's in Belfast. And they've been doing, they did sampling for a number of years of lobsters in the area between Islesboro and Sears Island and Belfast. This sort of and they found a sort of toxic triangle. And the thing is, right now, you may not know, but there is a mercury advisory on lobsters. There has been. And what it, however, it's no more than two a week. And so they figured very few people are having more than two lobsters a week. And if the tourists are, well, what they don't know will hurt them. So the thing is that, as we've said, the results start showing a higher level of mercury in these meats, and it's in the tail and claws. It's not in the guts in these things. Then they would have to change that in what they call spot control zones, where it might be that that water, say the Upper Bay area there, where lobsters there would have to have some kind of restriction label saying only one per week, because that's the next standard they'd have to do. Two per week, they don't bother telling anyone. One per week, that's going to make a difference, especially for sensitive populations, they say, like a fetus growing in a woman, or anybody, all of us, really, but developmental children and so on are really at risk there. So that's why I really want them to be careful, because what Mike Dassett has said is that when they, if they dig that stuff up, the plume, it's going to be this immense thing, like, you know, what, like the Iranians whacking the Iraqis, whatever happened back then. Poison gas. It's like they can't breathe because of the silt, and the mercury then gets into their systems. And the silt alone can knock back lobstering for more than a year, he said, even when there's been a smaller job, like when they dredged out Belfast not too long ago. Again, they were, the lobsters were off their feed for more than a year. They lost a lot of money. So if you have something that's 10 times as big, as Harlan said, you know, and of course these are the same kind of dredging, which, as you know, dredge stuff comes up. What happens? This big mushroom cloud of it fills the water, too. And that'll come on down into the rest of the bay. So so that's the mercury issue.
So it sounds like you've got two different things going on here then. You're calling for a cleanup over at GAC, and then related to that also, no dredging until the sediments have been tested by Mac Point?
Yes, they're two separate issues, but they're pretty related.
Right.
That one there just shows you exactly what's happening, so people who are skeptics can't say, well, I don't see it. Well, there it is. It's right, coming right into the bay. And the rest of the stuff, we didn't see it happen, but we know it was dumped in the bay and spilled. Mm-hmm. We know the bay is just full of nasty stuff. And we're just asking the state to check it out first, you know. What would happen to the lobster industry if they come out with that warning where you can only have one a week? Well, they have to publicize it. That's probably our premier industry. That's our brand. And if we have the public gets a little skittish about that, they're not going to come back. They're going to go on to something else. Once they give up lobsters, they're going to move on. And the lobster industry may never recover. It's too dangerous to do without at least investigating, you know.
Give us a break. And what's being asked of the chemical company?
We're asking the chemical company to build a berm and plant vegetation and stop that stuff from eroding into the bay. And we're asking them to tear down the other structures that are potentially going to do the same thing later and been blue preventative action. The state has already identified this, and DEP asked them to do it. The DMR asked them to do it, and they said they would. And they bought this property with the idea that they were responsible for all the stuff that was there.
And what is the stuff that's suspected to be there?
I have no idea. Ron, what's the stuff that's there?
Well, there's the big cloud of unknowing. All we know is that there have been ammonium sulfate, aluminum sulfate, other processes there, alum manufacturing. There have been fertilizer plants here. And also, but what we don't know, thanks to bad record keeping, according to Alex Horth, the previous operator here, is they lost all those old records. They don't know what's in there. So they can't tell us. DMR can't tell us. DEP can't tell us. So we want them to hire someone so they can find out and tell us. Because if it's really innocuous and fine, then just trim it back so it's not eroding into the bay. It's against the law to erode anything into the bay.
And there are deteriorating storage containers and old factory buildings there?
Yes, there's old factory buildings. There's decades and decades of eroding waste dumped on the shoreline that is there.
And bauxite has been identified?
Oh, yes. Bauxite is one of their principal components since the 70s. You might have seen there's a structure out in the outer part of Stockton Harbor. That's the old pipeline for the ammonia and I don't know what other substances to this plant that's I think it's to this one that's abandoned, but it was also to another building that's now gone. So we think they can get rid of these. They can remediate the problem there without us having to take them to court, without us having to make them out as bad guys, because as far as the community goes here, they're good guys. They hire a lot of people. They keep their nose clean with their current discharges and all that. They're a fine example of, I mean, they call themselves Maine's Chemical Company. Well, we want that to be a good thing.
And you mentioned mercury in lobsters. Has there been any measure of bauxite in lobsters? Is there any way to detect that?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything about that. The only thing I've seen about aluminum is that this aluminum, by the way, is very acidic. I should have brought some pH papers, but when aluminum is dissolved like this, it gets into the water column, and the water happens to be acidic. It'll only be there in the shallows because the water gets, the seawater will kind of neutralize it out some. But it will plate the gills of the plankton, the fish, and make life very uncomfortable. They'll feel like they've been chain smoking all their lives. They can't get enough oxygen. And so it could be a silent killer of things that just hatched. And you'll never know why it's not there, because it died before you could even barely see them. And so that's a problem that can be found with aluminum. In fact, there were some yellow perch studies back in Maryland, Chesapeake Bay, that looked into that.
DEP tells us that they're in compliance.
Well, they're in compliance. As I say, their business operations are in compliance. The waste discharge, there isn't any way when you look at the... you're not basically under the Clean Water Act, you're not allowed to do what you're seeing in these pictures, which is to have a runoff that contaminates the mud flats here. And for that matter, it now makes up like a foot or so of the mud. So they're in compliance with the current operations. As far as the waste goes, someone may say that their waste's in compliance, but I don't happen to agree.
The DEP said that DCP was a good idea, too, remember? They come to find out they weren't, so DEP is not the most reliable source.
So, and of course, nobody wants to clean up their mess, but we think that they should take the big gulp. David Coulter has gone from a good operator of this plant to CEO of the whole company, so he now can decide. He can decide... Will this be done? Well, he's the boss. Buck stops there. So we're calling on him to carry out this mitigation, to clean up to trim back the eroding areas, remove the old building, deal with the old pipelines that are crumbling along over there. And there's also some ceramic waste that keeps erupting up, that some of that they picked up.
What were those old factories?
Well, we're not even sure. Their details are lost in the mysteries of their lost records. It seems to be ammonium sulfate and aluminum sulfate. That's why you'll see lots of chunks of sulfur in the water. But I don't know what else. Well, quick one. Then let's go on down.
I don't know if you've mentioned this already. It sounds like you might have. But I remember 10 years ago or so, you and I and Richard spent time observing
this is Nancy Gallant.
Things flowing into the bay out of these ancient pipes. And so you did mention then that there is this network of underground pipes that nobody knows where they go to or what that was in them. And
I didn't mention that, but in 1998, when we found a big oil problem there, they had that cistern full of oil that was about to hit the bay there. They sucked up a bunch of it, the company that takes care of toxic waste. But they said they couldn't go very far into the pipeline itself because they just had... They didn't have a true rotor-rooter sort of thing that would go in, through all the nooks and crannies. So for all we know, there's a whole spaghetti line of underground pipelines. What you'll see over here is an above-ground one, or at least the above-ground part. So I'd really like to head on down there. The tide waits for nobody, and we'll go down here and see this sandbar, take it across, and then continue across there. And if you're feeling this way, you'll see the whole facility at once. And as I say, it's a nice place except for those parts. And we'll go over there, get up close so you can see the discolored beaches and mud, so on. And then if you want to come back right away, go ahead. Otherwise, there's another half mile of shoreline that has its own interesting problems in it.
And if you'd like to follow along, see the photographs that we took this afternoon as we attended this tour with Ron Huber and Harlan McLaughlin of Friends of Penobscot Bay outside the GAC Chemical Company in Searsport. You can go to the WERU Facebook page. It's facebook.com/WERUFM.
San Bartolomeo looks like there's kind of filled in a bit. Yeah, we can walk around this way just so you don't, but as you can see, here's the plant operating, doing its thing there. But from here over, despite the little forest screen, you've got a lot of problems of waste and fill.
What's the wooden-looking building that's popping up? Is that part of
that's,
a residence?
That's part of the abandoned building, that a factory building that, of unknown types. And to the left of the pale-colored building, you see some catwalks. Those are right above a large tank. It's called Little Big Tank. Named after the big tank that was here in the that was almost here. And
do you know what's in it?
We don't know what's in it. We want them to find out, because their own record people years ago we asked said we don't know.
The GAC people don't know what's in
they don't
in
know
that?
What's here because they lost records. So we'd like them to find out. Now I'm not sure about this, folks. We may be getting into knee-deep mud here. So the thing is, just walk around like that, you know.
I'm staying with you to report.
Yeah, we better go this way because the sandbar, unfortunately, because we delayed, you see it's now cut off. It's a waiting bar from that point. So if we just go around this way.
So General.
Right, we're going to go around this way because.
So GAC owns all of these old factory buildings and tanks.
Yeah.
They're responsible for them. They just haven't. Maybe that's why they haven't looked into what's in them.
Yeah, it may be. They're the responsible party, as any toxics person will tell you, when they bought the plant. Now, if the state and the feds don't get on them, they can simply save it for another day, deal with it some other day. Well, those other days have come and gone, and so it's time for them to deal with it.
So you're trying to get them to deal with it voluntarily. What kind of response have you had?
We've had some promises, but the promises haven't borne fruit.
How long have you been working with them to try to get them to do it?
This go round since I guess it was about this time last year when we contacted David Coulter, operator of the plant, advised him what issues we saw and asked him to come down and see him with us. And he did, and then came down again with his environmental consultant and us meaning Harlan and I, and noted this whole bank. See this bank right here with the dark blue shrub or dark shrub on it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big fill bank right there. You'll see, now, right now a lot of it's covered, but in the wintertime, leaves are gone, vines are gone. It's go ahead and right in.
So he came down with this environmental consultant, and what did they say?
The end of the day, they said, yes, we'll come up with a plan for dealing with that, with the eroding waste. They said we'd do part of it and see if that worked, and then go on to do the rest back in the spring of this year. And of course, they haven't done anything yet, which makes it a bit problematic for us.
Have you been in contact with them regarding why they haven't done anything?
Yes, and the last time, which was at a planning board, just after a planning board meeting. In Searsport, I asked him, said, you know, delays are happening. What's going on here? When are we going to do something? He said, soon. I said, this week, next week, 2 weeks, what? And he made a little too simple there, which we interpreted as 2 weeks.
That was when?
That was almost 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
2 weeks ago, I think, is it's tomorrow.
And he's aware that you're out here today. He was invited to attend, I assume?
Yes. Yes, we asked him to attend. Unfortunately, he's out of town. You may want to go along this edge over here. And we were hoping that, well, one of his lieutenants would show up.
But no one has shown
no
up from the
has,
company.
Yeah. Now, it may be that someone will be waiting here. It'd be just grants when pop out on an eroded bank and say, what problem?
And that did not happen. No one from GAC Corporation showed up at today's press conference and tour of the facilities or the areas around their facilities.
What we see are some salt grasses here on the shore. Underneath them, a little plateau makes it look like it's apparently some sort of peat formation that has just laid down for a long time. And if we saw lots of little pits, we'd know that new invader crab was around, but I don't see any, so it looks like it's just eroding away on its own. Now, notice from right here, you can start to see the discoloration of the cobble there. See the red, and there's like a dark purple. Well, the bauxite is beyond that. See the gray?
Uh-huh.
The aluminous is very gray. You can see the tank, the tip of the tank just poking out there. It's next to it. We'd like that building, the pale one. We'd like that, the pale one and the brick one that's below it, that's just on the other side of it, is that one with the broken out windows and all. Like that to be taken out, and the soil between that building and the discolored gravel and mud, you know, to be tested and then taken out as necessary. It's not, you know, rocket science. It's just being willing to dig it up and face the facts. And if they find everything clean and fine, hooray! You know, but it's so much more important to check and find out. We saw clammers coming in and catching clams. Are there any problems in the chemistry of those clams? We don't know. They don't know. The state's done the sort of ostrich in the sand thing. We don't need to know. Tourists come and go. They'll never link it to us.
Are you aware of anyone who's tried to do any independent sampling?
Here?
The water here, yeah.
Nope. All I have is a 1998 report by John Soles, who worked for DMR as their ecology person. Or actually, DEP as their ecology person, then moved to DMR. And from that, where he said, he and the ecologist went with him, said there was a lower biodiversity here. Plenty of aluminum. And he had very little to say about its toxicity, other than there's less of the worms and other life there than there is in other places. And
it's broken pieces of some kind of like a ceramic pipe looking.
Oh yeah, we'll start running into lots of, and there's plenty of sulfur, as you can see.
What is that?
This is sulfur that was used when they're making ammonium sulfate, and so they had leftover sulfur.
Is this stuff?
Yep. Yeah. And
they're all over.
It's sponge. They had a sulfur based. We always ought to collect this, like cleaning up their mess, you know, or make a sulfur statue.
Pretty hard.
That's from the past.
This is all from the past. I'm not going to taste it. And the current operation, you know, doesn't seem to have any. They don't discharge things out onto the ground, you know, as the past got to be. Now, there's a lot of this material here and some other ceramics. One of the companies that was grinding materials, because it was potentially flammable, they used ceramic crushing gears. So it was ground without metal. And huge amounts of this stuff have appeared, and a similar thing, it looks like just ceramic rings over a near where that oily gook was found, the other end of the harbor. One nice thing is the company has come out with its workers, cleaned up big piles of this stuff. It kind of erupts like stones and, you know, on the main floor. And so that shows the company can do a good thing when they're minded to.
What is that exactly?
This was part of a, we'll probably see some more complete ones, but these were used as grinding gears.
It's another half of one
ceramic.
Right there.
When they were grinding things that might have a spark,
yeah.
This stuff, you could grind things without causing any sparks because it's ceramic.
Well, I was wondering what the bracing on the inside was.
Yeah.
Hey, we find those on the beach all the time.
Yeah, and now this was the old grinding systems they had that wouldn't spark.
For grinding what?
Ron, why do we have this?
Well, that's, let's see, let's grind some. Put a piece in there. Well, I just was curious.
Sulfur.
I think it's all, no, it'd be on top here. It's like grinding coffee. But basically, it would just, this stuff would be dropped in, and then under a lot of forces, a whole bunch of these rollers are all rolling. It would grind their material up so they could use it. Basically, it's like a giant industrial blender.
Why are we finding so much sulfur on this beach?
Because the way of dealing with your waste products back in the good old days was throw it over the side.
And what's the sulfur waste product from?
I know, but I'm saying this all coming back to visit? This is stuff that was eroding out of this.
Absolutely. I've lived here for 43 years.
Okay, well, you've seen this. You'll see.
I know what's going on here.
What's it?
We have yellow slime all over the bay.
Huh. No.
What's the sulfur byproduct of, do you know?
Well, they had ammonium sulfate and aluminum sulfate processes, and the ammonia was what came up the pipeline from that offshore thing there. And so whatever sulfate process there was some leftover residue. And as you can see, basic way of dealing with sulfur, you know, we're dealing with waste is to tip it over the side.
That was earlier this afternoon outside the GAC Corporation, formerly known as General Alum Corporation, in Searsport, adjacent to Sears Island. And we also observed a pipeline that was going from the abandoned section near the old buildings that apparently the company doesn't know what was in them. There's a pipeline that's exposed along the beach leading into the ocean. And you can see photographs of the tour from this afternoon at our web or at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WERUFM. And also you can go to pennbay.net for more information. And that is the WERU News Report for Tuesday, July 30th, 2013. I'm Amy Brown. Thanks for listening. Join us here every Tuesday and Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock for independent local news made possible with your support.